May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his wrath. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing, Christ will send them down. Hymn 897.
Oh, together from the most holy word of God, from Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is a blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. He was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is a blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. And they shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading's most holy word, and grant all needed help in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious, and almighty Lord God, thou hast once again lengthened out our time here upon the earth to gather in thy courts in this little corner of thy vineyard for prayer and praise and worship of thee. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. We're still upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended. The door of mercy is not shut. Oh, may we be each found amongst those beggars poor at mercy's door. Lies such a wretch as I. As thou hast favoured us once again to be physically in thy house this Lord's day, May it please thee that we might likewise be in the Spirit as thou hast wrought it in our hearts, in the Spirit on this, the Lord's Day. It might be found amongst those Greeks of old that came up to the temple, and their desire was, Sir, we would see Jesus. Or give me Christ, or else I die. Realizing that another week of our short lives has gone, another week has begun, eternity is before us. Ah, it's a tremendous sound, is it not? A tremendous sound to a sinner doomed to die, but it is a tremendous sound with all its unnumbered years. We may be by thy mercy and thy favour spared to have many years here upon the earth. But what are they compared to eternity? Even the years of Methuselah, those many years which thou didst grant unto him, what are they compared to eternity? But as a mere speck. A mere speck that can hardly be seen. Those years of Methuselah were numbered, but eternity, those years are unnumbered. May it please thee, oh, do stir us up, we might see of a truth that we are frail at best. We're frail at best, yes, when we were in our youth, childhood, young manhood, youth and young manhood, in our middle years, we did not feel much of that frailty of our body. But now, O Lord, as the years advance, we realize we are frail at best. But oh, may we each be brought to know of a truth, our frailty, the frailty of our frame. And that there is an appointed time, the day of our birth, we've each passed that appointed time, satisfied that according to thy divine purposes, so it came to pass. But oh, to number our days, not to know the length of our days, but to realize that they are but short. To number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom, that wisdom of who thou art and what we are. When we have that view by faith granted unto us of one thrice holy, we shall know what it is to tremble. Or as that light shines into the darkness of our heart, we see what we are in the enormity of it. Sinners indeed, sinners in need. Desperate sinners, each deserving an endless hell. But oh, we've known a little of trembling under the law. What a mercy indeed. Perhaps one or another knows what it is to tremble even now. Trembling at thy word, trembling at thy law, a broken law. And a sight of a hole in a heart-searching God that will not at all acquit the wicked. Oh, make us to know what we are and what we have need of. Will it not be then the poor sinner, by the working of the Spirit within, revealing, teaching, leading into all truth as it is in Jesus, they'll be brought to flee unto one who is able to do for a sinner more than they can ask or even think. They'll be brought to flee to one upon whom help is laid. Help is laid there for one, whether they be as Mary or Manasseh, or worse, like as the apostle declared of himself, of sinners of whom I am chief. Oh, that might be each brought ere we come to the end of our days to flee to Christ as our only refuge, that place of safety, that place where, yes, it is that sure foundation, but that place of safety, it's eternal safety. And so we plead, do take us each in hand and leave us not to anything which is short of Christ, for Christ must be the way. Christ must be the way, for there is no other salvation, no other way of salvation. There is no other way whereby a poor sinner must be saved. It is but through Christ, and through what Christ hath done, the sinner's friend, as a God-man, offering himself as that perfect sacrifice in their room, place, and stead. One, sinless in perfection, but made sin for his people, bore the sin of many. Ah, yes, and the sword of divine justice was drawn out and taken out against him. Wake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. And so it was. The sufferings of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon the cross at Calvary. The hymn writer put it thus, those sufferings which were so intense that angels have no perfect sense, but those sufferings were those eternal sufferings that were due for the sins of his church, his chosen, his bride. But he bore them, bore those sins and the suffering and the punishment due for those sins as that perfect sacrifice, offering himself once and for all, and cried out with his dying breath, "It is finished." Oh, bring us each to know the sweetness, the wonder of the finished work of Christ. Ah, made known unto a poor sinner. So we plead, do work mightily in each heart. We hasten on. Bring us to this. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. For thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. And so we plead for each one as we've gathered, and those that would be here if they could, thou knowest what may detain them. Thou canst go to each one where they are and satisfy them. We plead, if it could please thee, satisfy them with thy goodness this day. Those that could be here, if they would, thou knowest. Thou canst bring them yet to that time of want, that time of need. But as we've gathered and are favoured to gather, we thank thee for it. We thank thee for the means of grace. We thank thee for the house of God and the freedom to gather without the fear of man or authority. None lawfully can make us afraid. But oh, may we know what it is to have our ear bored to the doorpost, that we come up to hear what the Lord might speak. Do remember the each one according to their path, and we thank thee for another little one born in their midst. We're thankful when we see them and we look upon them as we have seen one another here now. They've grown up and they're going on into life, but always another one is now found in their midst. We plead thy help upon them, and especially upon the little one and the mother. We likewise look into our own family, as we thank thee also for, yes, even of recent times, days, life given, life spared. One also, dear daughter-in-law in hospital this morning, do remember her there. Likewise, heavy with child. Lord, we plead that might be yet that time of rejoicing, life given, life spared. What a mercy there is one to whom we can go to cast all these cares upon. So we commit them unto thee. And any others, O Lord, perhaps are found in hospitals, we would likewise commit them unto thee. So do remember one another according to that which thou hast purposed in their life and their path. And so do remember the dear young friends, and we look upon the little ones and those that are growing up now and going on into life. It's a dark and evil day. Many temptations, many allurements. The subtlety of Satan, Satan is still as subtle as ever, as well as that roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. There is no change there. Lord, we plead, keep them in their young years. Put thy fear in their hearts, the beginning of wisdom. May that which is taught to them whilst young, both in the homes and in the Sabbath school, might be that word which remains. May not have that effect now, but like the bread cast upon the waters, found after many days, it may be in years to come, it's a comfort to them. But even that word, that good seed, sown in their heart, that shall and is perhaps even at this moment of time, we know a seed sometimes, according to this type of seed, there's that period of dormancy. But it's not in that way, without a hope there, that dormant seed. According to the conditions, the season, there comes that time when there's a swelling of it and a breaking forth of both the root first and then the shoot. Perhaps over many years as that, as regards the good seed of the good husbandman Christ through the thy word, whether it is a preach word or that in the home or the Sabbath school, that good seed, there's that work begun, taking root downward, and shall yet spring forth into the light according to thy time and purpose. They cannot be hidden. It breaks forth, and yet in due time shall be that prospect seen in it as we look upon the crops when they grow. First as regarding the wheat, the leaf appears. And then as time goes on, there is the beginning of that ear of grain. That ear of grain. Lord, we plead then, bless thy word unto the young, but unto us each. But especially as we think upon the young, that it might be that word which will have that effect upon them. Yes, that word, perhaps even which will keep them in the hour of temptation. What a mercy that in that hour of temptation, thy word is brought back to their remembrance by the Holy Spirit. So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. the fear of the Lord. So do keep them, help them. And as they grow up and go on into life, make ways for them where perhaps there seems to be no way. But oh, may they be enabled to call upon thee in their times of trouble and prove that thou art one who is able to do for his people more than they can ask or even think. Remember parents. Anxious time for parents. Evil is called good and good is called evil. The national school system, there's that which is promoted is a not, which is quite contrary to thy word and thy laws. Enable them to counter those arguments and those things are put forth. But the young, oh, may they ever be upon their watchtower. That watchtower, on the lookout, as it were, for that which is being promoted, which is wrong according to thy word, even in their young years, that they might know it. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Remember those in the midst of life that bear the heat and burden of the day. It is a day of many cares and many anxieties, whether it is the housewife and mother in the home, whether it is those in their studying, those in their workplaces, business life, thou knowest. Fast moving age, but nevertheless, it is a day of darkness and gloominess at times, such perhaps we've not known for many, many years. Ah, what confusion, what turmoil. But, O Lord, we often think, and as we thought upon it of recent times, as regards that government of thy people, of Zion, it is a perfect government that knows no end, and it knows no changes. As governments of nations and this nation, as we tremble at it at times, but as regards Zion, it is that perfect government which will govern all Zion's affairs and the inhabitants thereof. Bring them home to glory at last. What a mercy for all life's changing scenes. There is one that does not change. Does not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. An unchanging God, an unchanging government. Yes, love with an everlasting love. And that love and that care of Almighty God will bring them through all the scenes of life. Bring them to that glorious prospect. We have no continuing city here. But oh, what a mercy if we seek that which is to come. That eternal city not made with hands, but made, built of God, eternal in the heavens. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When I come again, I shall receive unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There's no change in that. Satan cannot destroy it or bring it to naught. And neither can anyone here below. Yes, there are many threatenings and things that cause us anxious thought. But as regards thy people, there is that prospect. Amidst all these things, there is that prospect. In my Father's house are many mansions. The word of God declares it, and thy word is truth, is it not? Thy word is truth. So do comfort us as we journey on and we look upon those things round about us. What a mercy when we prove the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. And we prove that comfort of thine I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So to remember each in the midst of life with all its cares. Remember those in the even time of life. They fill them up, ward cottage shake. Bring to their remembrance those Ebenezer stones. Ah, hast thou not brought them hitherto? Hast thou not been their helper thus far? Oh, bring to their remembrance all the way which the Lord their God hath led them. Ah, then the lines of the hymn, He who hath brought me hitherto will help me all my journey through and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. So to remember those in the even time of life, remember any that are sick and afflicted. We think upon one another, Mount Zion, but those here, perhaps walking affliction's path, do bless all the means used for their good. And may it yet please thee, under thy blessing, might be that restoration, but all sanctify the path to them. And sometimes we look back to those times of affliction, yea, even those times when we've had to undergo an operation. We look back now and we would not be without it. The time of greatest blessing and favour of the Lord. So we plead, sanctify the path and sweeten all the pain. May they yet see it's amongst us all things that work together for good. To them that love God, to those that accord according to his purpose. Quite different from our thoughts. Our thoughts are contrary, are they not? Our thoughts, we would rather have a path of ease and no afflictions and no trials and tribulations. But thy word has declared, through much tribulation you shall enter the kingdom. But hast thou not said, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, and tribulations and trials might bring us to that in our experience, where it seems the end of everything, certainly the end of self, the end of the strength of our own arms, and we're brought to that place when we truly cry unto thee. And it's not then words from the lip, it's from the heart, groanings and burdens of sighs and fallings of tears and upward glancing of eyes, when none but God is near. So to remember each one in their affliction. Remember thy true church, ministered and brought low. Turnings aside, forsaking the old paths. Little leaven creeps in, begins to leaven the whole lump, we fear. Ah, the spirit of the world and worldliness soon takes hold upon us. Oh, we need that stirring up. Keep us close to thee. We're prone to wander, as a hymn writer put it. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take, oh, take my heart and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. Remember Zion then, as we think upon Zion this day. Remember thy servants have gone forth to labour in thy name. May thy word go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. May it truly accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. Remember us also as a guilty land and nation. And certainly what confusion and turmoil and upheaval, and one thing after another in this nation. Is it not in thy way of judgment? We have turned thee the back and not the face. We do not seek counsel of thee. Ah, where are men of integrity? Lord, we plead, if it could please thee, raise up one or another to govern this nation that might have that integrity, not to be self-serving, self-pleasing. But oh, as we see that confusion and turmoil, Lord, we plead, do yet have mercy upon us. Ah, do yet have mercy upon us. But oh, we certainly deserve thy just judgments. We deserve everything, for we have truly turned thee the back and not the face. We sin against light and knowledge. Oh, we plead then, there might be yet, even in our nation, a turning once again unto thee. When we think of the death of our late monarch, and that which many would have heard perhaps for the first time out of the authorized version of the Word of God read, there might be even through these things an inquiry in the heart of one and another. Where does this come from? Who saith this? What are these words? They're brought to make those inquiries, and perhaps even to seek out a copy for themselves of that which they've never read or heard read before. Even perhaps those amongst other religions, so-called. False faiths, false religions. And they're brought to seek out there and brought to that knowledge of the living God. Ah, yes, that knowledge of themselves as sinners and a precious Christ as Saviour. Lord, may it please thee, there might be even through these things, there might be an awakening of the dead. An awakening of the dead. And so we plead, do then arise in this nation, arise for our help, and may there be that moving in the heart of many, such as thou hast a purpose of grace toward. And are there none of thy prodigals even around this little vineyard, this part of thy vineyard here, swathes here in the villages round about, as well as the dead elect, that thou hast named in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, if it could please, bring back the prodigals, awaken the dead, and cause many to turn in, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead now, do grant that help to us as we've gathered and been favoured to gather. Bless us each together, send none empty away. Ah, thou knowest this poor empty earthen vessel. Lord, pour in that we may pour out. Give the tongue of the learned, not that natural learning, but as taught by the Spirit. As we trust, we've handled and tasted and felt of the word of life, so do we enable us to speak. We plead all these things, pleading for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked amiss, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
In number 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. In 1028.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read, Deuteronomy chapter 33, and read the first part of verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and the first part of verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge. The whole verse reads, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Ah, Moses, the man of God, that led the children of Israel, brought them out of that Egyptian bondage, and was brought now to the latter part of his life, in fact the closing part of his life. And as a man of God, yes, it was not his words, for he was a man of God, the Lord's servant. He spake, did he not, unto the children of Israel individually and collectively. So individually to each one of them, as he blessed them in the name of God, being the man of God. But then in that collective way, regarding Jeshurun. Jeshurun. And what a mercy if we're each brought to prove there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Moses proved God to be as he declared. It wasn't just in that way that he knew nothing of this. You read of the path of Moses. The path of Moses. He proved this God was his God and his refuge. And so as he came to the end of his days, likewise as he proved it, and as a man of God so he spoke it, indicted no doubt and moved by the Spirit, there is none. What a declaration. So as we said just now, may we each likewise prove it in our little lives according to what God hath purposed for us. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. And then you read those last two verses yourselves. But the eternal God, well, we look upon things in our day, do we not? What change and decay, what turmoil. Things that once were fairly settled now seem to be turned upside down. We look upon that which governs our nation, we look at it in wonder and amazement. What turmoil there is there in the governments and the nations of the earth, and the troubles that are there. It brings us to this. What will the end of all these things be? What will the end of all these things be? But what a mercy if in the midst of all this, and it does make us tremble, does it not? We're creatures of fear, and so we drag along. We prove there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Yes, you read of the path again of Moses. The Lord brought him through many things, many trying scenes. But he proved that one upon whom help was laid. And may we likewise prove, yes, it is a day of disquiet and turmoil and unease. May we prove there is not one as our refuge. But oh, as I was going about some of those things I had to do in the week, well, my mind went to that hymn of Doddridge, hymn 331. And there, that hymn, the language seemed to rest upon my spirit. And perhaps it is so in our day, more so than what it's been for many years. Beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Saviour divine, diffuse thy light to guide my doubtful footsteps right. But oh, what a mercy if in all this we're brought to the second verse of that hymn, engage this roving, treacherous heart to fix on Christ my better part, to scorn the trifles of a day for joys that none can take away, to be brought to see that, yes, everything here below, there'll be an end to it, an end to it. Ah, Doddridge went on in that hymn, did he not? Then let the wildest storms arise. Let tempests mingle earth and skies. No fatal shipwreck shall I fear. But all my treasures with me bear. If thou, my Jesus, still be nigh, cheerful I live and joyful die. Secure when mortal comforts flee, to find 10,000 worlds in thee. But oh, it was especially that first verse, beset with snares, beset with fears, beset with many cares, troubles and sorrows, things hard to be understood, and certainly it is a day of that, is it not? But oh, if it might be through these things, that moving in our heart, yes, that moving in our heart to see that we have no continuing city here. It is but a sojourn, and it certainly is a vale of tears. But oh, to be brought to see this, we have of a truth an eternity before us, never dying souls and sins. Ah, yes, needy sinners, brought to realise of a truth, not academically. Yes, many can say they know they're a sinner. They know they're a sinner. But all to be brought to that, the knowledge of it and the reality of it. To be brought to realise that there is no hope in ourselves and no help in ourselves. I know I've said it often before, no doubt here. But what a mercy we've been brought to this. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Oh, what a mercy if we've been brought to a knowledge of what our need is through that sight of one holy. Not just holy, but as the prophet Isaiah spake, holy, holy, holy. As he recorded that which he saw in that vision, and the voice of those seraphims was it not? They cried out, holy, holy, holy. Even the prophet Isaiah, yes, he was a man of God, but it brought him to tremble. And he said, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. He is brought to see he had need of a saviour again. But ought to be brought to that need of a saviour. Yes, an eternal God, a refuge. And that refuge is in naught through the eternal Son. God the Son, made known unto a poor sinner by God the Spirit, the eternal Spirit. Loved of God, what a mercy if we're found amongst those loved of God with an everlasting love. And drawn by that love, yes, we cannot draw ourselves, we cannot change ourselves, we cannot work in our hearts that good thing, but it is by the Spirit it is wrought. The Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit. The eternal Spirit. But oh, if the eternal Spirit works that in your heart, convinces you of your need, you long for this refuge, which is Christ. Ah, yes, the eternal God is thy refuge. Thy refuge. What a mercy as we read that verse there. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. The enemy, that one that was not your enemy at one time, but now becomes your enemy. Yes, that work of grace stirs up the wrath of Satan. Stirs up that wrath of Satan. What with the old man of sin within and Satan without. They work together, one and the same. You'll find then such a warfare, such a conflict that you never knew before. You'll have need of this refuge. Moses knew of this refuge. Adam knew of this refuge. When Adam sinned and death entered, yes, there was that made known unto him that he had need of this refuge and of a sacrifice. Ah, eternal God is thy refuge. We live in New Testament times. Those saints of old, Moses, Abraham, ah, yes, Adam, all those saints of old, they were amongst those that died in faith, viewing one that was to come. There was that which was done in those days, was it not? Was appointed, was it not, for sin, an offering? A sacrifice had to be made. There's need of a high priest and that, yes, and those offerings that had to be made. But all we live in gospel times, do we not? They were types and shadows of that which was to come. They all pointed to Christ, one that was yet to come, but in the fullness of time took upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin. God the Son. Ah, as that spotless lamb, and my mind went early this morning to what we read, I know often refer to Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, and all that it might be made known unto each one of us. For it speaks of one there that is from eternity, God the Son. Well, you read Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and you seek that the Lord might open it up to your understanding. And what a mercy we see there, an eternal God, God the Son. And yes, also the working of the Holy Spirit. So not only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three yet one. One yet three. The beginning of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. He spake, God spake, did he not, through his servant there, the apostle Paul, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's in the gospel days. These last days. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Yes, he ever was with the Father, brought up with him, knowing no beginning, and neither shall know no end, eternal. Who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins by the offering of himself. By the offering of himself as that spotless lamb. This is that eternal God. What a mercy when it's made known unto a poor sinner. Did we not have that desire in that hymn just now? Yes, what a mercy if even this Sabbath day there should be some poor sinner brought, yes, to know the distress of sin. And it is a distress, is it not? It's a burden. It's a burden which is above any other burden. And perhaps you come into the courts of the Lord. With this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. And that hymn we had just now of Fowler's, did it not begin? Come hither. Gospel invitation. Do we not read in the word of God also? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Burdened sinners, needing rest, needing a place of safety. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. Yes, we read, do we not, in that verse just now in Deuteronomy, the enemy can't conquer that enemy. Have no control over the old man of sin within or Satan without, an enemy. Yes, that enemy. But what a mercy, as I said, you read Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and seek the Lord, to the Lord might open it up to your understanding. So we read then in that first chapter, I cannot read it all, but a few verses came to my mind. But under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness to the unrighteous, to the most hell deserving. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, as a vesture. Shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? But all that, the eternal God, refuge for sinners, it's in Christ and Christ alone. And it was it not, from eternity to all eternity, for all the election according to the foreknowledge of God, from Adam's day down to the end of time, so it will be. So it will be. But oh, as I say briefly, turn to this morning. But oh, just quoting a few verses as I turn through Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. Though he being a son, chapter 5, though he were a son, yet learned he the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. The author of it. That eternal salvation. What a mercy. Made known to a poor sinner, perhaps one here this morning. The burden of sin. Having need of a saviour. There is one, the author, set before us in the scripture, in the gospel. The eternal God, the refuge, the author. The author of eternal salvation. And unto all them that obey him. Yes, that salvation. They're brought out of nature's darkness. They walk in the fear of the Lord. Yes, we have to speak that. If there's that wrought in the heart, there'll be a change wrought. There's a change. Man does not go on if it's out of a divine reality. There's a change wrought in the heart. Turns the heart of man. Those ways he once lived in and loved, they become unto him that which is abhorrent. He cannot serve the prince of the power of the air anymore. A change wrought, a heart renewed, and a turning of the feet to Zion's hill. If any speak of salvation and they still live as they list, that is not a work of grace. That is not that way in which the Lord works. The Lord will change the heart. The Spirit will change the heart and renew the will and turn the feet to Zion's hill. So they're brought to obey him. The word of the Lord becomes unto them precious. Not to be abhorred or turned aside from. But the word of the Lord becomes unto them, does it not, a light unto their feet and a guide unto their path. So going on, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Well, you know that as regards Melchizedek. No one knew or could trace his birth, the date of his birth, or the date of his death couldn't be named either. Had no beginning or end according to what man could see. But all the eternal God. Yes, the eternal God. After the order of Melchizedek. An unchanging priesthood. That one that truly has satisfied the law by the offering of himself, yes, a perfect sacrifice, and by the offering himself in the room, place, and instead of his church, his people, his bride, satisfied the law, which testifies against them. What a mercy. Do you find has that been made known unto you, poor sinner? You stand condemned by the law of God. You stand condemned. But there, poor sinner, is this one who bore the sin of many. You read of it in Zechariah's prophecy. I believe I quoted it. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Bore the sword of divine justice. And in bearing that sword of divine justice, the law's demands were satisfied. when he bowed his head and gave up, cried out with his dying breath, "It is finished," and bowed his head, gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. That new and living way. No more sacrifice. No more sacrifice. Yes, that brought to an end of that old covenant, that old dispensation, ushering in that new covenant. That one whom Christ is the author of, ushering in that new covenant, the covenant of grace. But he entered in there as that high priest. As a high priest of old entered in once every year. He entered in through the veil, and he couldn't go in. The high priest couldn't go in without the blood of the offering. But oh, what a mercy. Christ, the eternal Son. Yes, offered himself and shed his own heart's blood. And has entered into the holiest, not without blood, but with his own heart's blood. Not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars slain could atone for one sin or purge the sins of any. But the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ, and to him we had, did it not? Come hither, ye whose rising fears forbid you to exult and sing, whose moments pass in sighs and tears, feeling your guilt a dreadful sting. Does Satan tempt you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name? Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Come hither to the Saviour. Come and view, vile as thou art in every view. In Jesus' house, there still is room for needy sinners such as you. Yes, the Lord knows where those are that are his, and those whom he hath wrought in the heart, where they tremble under the law. They confess their sinners of the deepest dye, have need of a Saviour. I believe it was in chapter 7 in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, regarding this high priest and that which he hath offered. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, "The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." Till the end of time, this is. Even today, to a poor sinner, after the order of Melchizedek, knowing no beginning or end, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. One passed away and another was appointed. But this man, because he continueth ever, what a refuge. Down to the end of time, this refuge will be known until the last of the Lord's people is brought out of nature's darkness. This refuge will be known. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And listen to this. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ah, the word of God. The word of God. And the gospel is for poor sinners, is it not? The out of the way. The blank. But oh, as we turn back in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, to the 4th chapter. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then this gracious word here, let us therefore. This is not fleshly boldness, but that which is of the Spirit, indicting prayer in the heart of a poor sinner, given that boldness to enter in through the veil and plead for Jesus' sake. To plead that name which is above every name and the precious blood of Christ. What a mercy. That provision. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, or to obtain mercy. Ah, does Satan tempt you to give up? Call no more on Jesus' name. Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. Come hither to the Saviour. Come, vile as thou art in every view. In Jesus' house there still is room for needy sinners such as you. Power and love in Christ combined, an able, willing Saviour too. Is he a son? On thee he'll shine. Is he thy God? He'll bring thee through. Ah, that refuge then for poor sinners. That refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. Oh, may you prove it yet in that way of salvation. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath, as we said, that warfare, a conflict which threatens to overwhelm. Friends that bring everything to naught, destroy every faith and every grace and every hope. But the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. Oh, think upon that. The poor sinner, tormented by the enemy, find him thrust again and again, but what a mercy, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Amen.
Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Richard Wells will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ian Sadler next door is staying. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. Oh, the love that fills his heart. Sinner, wipe away thy tears. In 956.
to be that only refuge for poor sinners. But may we prove the wondrousness of salvation's plan and what thou hast accomplished in the sinner's room, place, and stead. Oh, the satisfying of the law in every jot and tittle to the Marys and the Manassas. And like as the apostle said of him himself, of whom I am chief, all the chiefest of sinners. And so we plead, do bless thy word and the truth of it, the wondrousness of it, and the eternal reality of it all for an eternal God, an eternal God. And do please to bless then thy word, forgive all that has been amiss, spoken amiss. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.